Yeah, so let's do One Night in Miami, which is directed by Regina King, who won a supporting actress Oscar for her role in If Beale Street Could Talk. This is her making her feature directorial debut. I think she's done a TV film before. And it's adapted from a stage play by Kent Powers, who, of course, is one of the co-writers, co-directors of Soul, which we will be talking about a little bit later on in the show with Pete Docter. Set in February 1964, and it posits a fictionalized version of a meeting between Malcolm X, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali later, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke. And it is just after a Clay fight. And it looks like it's going to be a party, but actually the meeting, because it's obviously a stage play contrivance, is about so much more than that. Here's a clip.
And I'm only 22 years old. There is no way I'm supposed to be this great. Look, Alexander the Great conquered the whole world at the age of 30, and I conquered the world of boxing at 22 without sustaining so much as a scratch.
That's right. Whoa.
There he goes.
You do the math.
All right. When is this party going down?
Yeah, that's a good question. What's on the agenda, Malcolm?
Well, I thought this would be a wonderful chance for us to reflect on what's happened tonight. Like our young brother said, there's no denying that greater forces were at work.
So you've got cast, which is Kingsley Benadire, Iligori, Aldis Hodge, Leslie Odom Jr. And it basically puts these figures together in a hotel room, a kind of motel room, which they think initially what's going to be happening is that there's going to be a party. But in fact, it turns out that over the course of the evening, it's going to turn into a discussion about politics and culture and life decisions. And one of the things that happens, for example, is that Malcolm X starts berating Sam Cooke for the fact that in his music, he's not addressing social issues in the way that, for example, Bob Dylan is. Meanwhile, we have Jim Brown, who's at a point in his life when his career is starting to change. He's going from one area into another. And it's evident that Malcolm X has plans for Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, in terms of the way in which his own political, future seems to be panning out. And all this happens over the course of an evening. And obviously, I mean, it absolutely does show its stage play roots. I mean, you can see that it what that you know it's rooted in a stage play, much the same way as we were talking before about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. You can see that this comes from something that has a theatrical rooting to it. Although obviously what Regina King does is she does open that out, so you're not just confined to one room. But it has a staginess, and there's no getting away from that. But the thing is that the performances are good enough that actually you think, okay, that's fine, because I understand that there is a stagey construction to this, but actually I'm being carried along by it because the performances are good enough to carry the theatricality of what's happening, of these discussions about the intersection between culture and politics and sport and entertainment and racial divisions in America and where the future lies, whether that's to do with monetary empowerment or cultural empowerment or political empowerment and identity. And there's an awful lot of kind of very, I mean, it's interesting the way in which it talks about identity, but it often talks about identity through other subjects. So, for example, the discussion about what kind of songs you should be singing and who it is that makes money off songs and whether or not it's the songwriters or the people that own the songs and how writing something that seems to be trivial but becomes successful, which you own, is actually a way of achieving power. So all these actually quite complicated discussions are happening amidst this theatrical setting. And in other hands, I think it would have looked simply stagey. But as it was, I found myself really engrossed in it because, firstly, there's very sort of sinewy camera work that manages to make the most of the fact that there are a series of confined settings and setups in which people are basically speechifying at each other. Also, because I think what Regina King has managed to do as a director is to get great performances out of her cast. I mean, it's interesting because we've talked to people who were actors who have directed, And they've always said, you know, it does matter because you do understand how an actor works. If you have acted, it gives you a different perspective as a director. I remember Ridley Scott once saying famously, in the case of Blade Runner, when he didn't have the best reputation with actors, and he said, well, I've got a performance to give too. But in the case of this, I felt that the director really did get the best out of the actors, and the actors did get the most out of what is undeniably stagey, but actually what works and creates these kind of emotional and political and, you know, historical sparks to fly through a contrivance which you kind of forget about because you're swept up in it. It's available in cinemas where available, and obviously that's a very moving feast at the moment. And then it comes to Amazon Prime on January the 15th.